Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here for the coordinators today, a defensive player as well. 11:45 today live here on 610 Sports Radio. Also, Tershawn Wharton, the guest with Cody and Gold today, coming up at 10:30.
I grew up in a town called Wharton, New Jersey, named after Joseph Wharton.
I thought you didn't get to talk during this segment.
The founder of the Wharton Business School at the University of Pennsylvania.
I thought you were just going to take this segment off every week.
Tershawn's related to them or not. Went to Missouri.
Maybe.
S&T.
Yeah.
They're high profile.
Science and technology?
Academic institution. Tershawn Wharton today, 10:30 with Cody and Gold.
He's the reason we know that school changed its name.
Correct.
And it's been changed for a decade.
Correct.
Right, okay. Good job marketing down there, Rolla.
Yeah. We hadn't heard that one.
Was this in the news?
No, obviously not. 10 years ago it changed. Oh, it changed its name when that happened. 2010? Oh.
Missed it.
Thanks for announcing that.
Missed that memo, apparently. It is time to look at our Survivor picks brought to you by Own KC. Donate, get gear, rep KC. Check out ownkc.com. It's down to just two. Fesco sitting this one out with his two strikes. That leaves just Ryan and I to carry the torch.
Next year, are you going to plan to do your own picks?
No, I don't really care that I'm eliminated.
Yeah, see, that's loser talk.
You gotta care more about that.
I've never cared about gambling or fantasy sports.
They wouldn't play this game anyway.
Never have. Never was a fantasy football guy. Never was a gambler. So
have a little pride.
I hate gambling on something that's free to you.
What do you mean free to me?
I mean, it didn't cost you anything to get in our survivor pool. We're just gonna help somebody else win. You don't care about helping somebody else win?
I really don't know.
You don't care about other people?
But we know Bob had more
people. I'll wear my mask.
Bob had more people picking him than Ryan or I, and Ryan or I are going to give you a better chance to win.
That's not true, actually. I was number three at this station.
Ahead of Bob?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And you were the reigning champ, and you were only picked number three? Sounds like you suck.
Well, I know who came in last in the picks.
Carrington?
No.
Levine?
No.
Me?
That's right.
Good. Good. Again, I don't really care.
That's what somebody who sucks at something says.
Right. Yes, it really is. Yeah, it really is.
Yep.
It really is.
What do you want me to say? Oh, my God, I lost. I'm so devastated.
Admit you suck.
Admit you suck.
I admit I don't care, though. I mean, somebody says they don't care about something.
Take your own advice.
Whatever.
Okay, I suck. Ooh.
Admit you suck.
I'm out of a survivor pool. Oh, no.
Yeah, loser talk.
You got to play this back to yourself to let you know what it sounds like.
You also realize Carrington's out of it, too, right?
Yeah.
Every one of you sucks.
Well, I know Carrington doesn't try, but yeah, we get it.
I think he's intentionally sabotaging.
Yeah, he's.
Maybe we were, too.
That's no, yeah, you can't pull that one out in week eight.
Joe and Lolo ain't in that game.
No, they were in it to win it.
That's right. You know, they were.
I could care less.
I got to ride with the Buccaneers. We talked about it with Therese, and you guys claim I've been so high on them. So I guess I got to take the Bucs this week. But the
Giants are going to roll their ass.
The Buccaneers at the at the Giants on Monday
Giants
night.
Giants are breaking out the retro uniforms on Monday night.
As much as I'm wary of a letdown because too many people are saying too many nice things about the Bucs, the Monday night stage is not the spot. So I will take the Bucs on Monday night.
Extra day to prepare for Joe Judge. Get out of the way, man. I don't know.
Giants
are coming on strong.
I considered the Buccaneers. Two reasons I didn't want to go with them. Number one, I didn't want to have to wait till Monday. I didn't want to have to sweat it out till Monday night. So give me a Sunday early slate game. Number two, Tom Brady in his history against the New York Giants isn't exactly great.
No, he's not.
I ain't see Tom Coughlin walking through that door.
No, nope, he is not, but you see Joe Judge.
I ain't see that Manning kid walk through the door. There's no David Tyree walking through that door.
Are you talking about Arch Manning? Because he could be walking through that door.
That
may be the next Giants quarterback.
That'd be kind of cool, actually, if that was the case.
Who would he demand as his coach, though?
I don't know.
You can I imagine Giants fans everywhere would be so excited because now they don't have to buy a new jersey.
As long as he stayed with number 10, though.
Well, then it's not like they're going to retire it, right?
I think they already did.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay, well, whatever.
They're very weepy about
it. I mean, Eli does have 2 Super Bowls with him. Yeah, they're probably going to retire.
Ryan has a strike.
Whatever, switch it up. Just change the number.
How are you staying alive this week, Ryan?
Oh, give me the Tennessee Titans this week.
Ooh,
coming off.
Going with the Tennessee COVIDs.
You know what? Your input doesn't matter.
I don't know
this,
about
Bob.
That. They got that virus. They may be shut down.
That's not true. Titans coming off their first loss of the season.
Don't
and
you
they
read
took
the newspapers? They had COVID.
Well, a lot of people consider one of the better teams in the NFL. The Pittsburgh Steelers took them down to the wire. I know that the Bengals have, the last, 3 games, they've been in it, till the very end. And I think at some point they're probably going to win one of those close games.
They're going to take somebody down they shouldn't, yeah.
It's not this one, though. Mm. It's just not this one.
I don't know, man.
I mean, since he gives up, 5 yards per carry, so Derrick Henry's going to eat. Baker Mayfield just went crazy, had, 400 yards and 5 touchdowns against him. I think Ryan Tannehill's a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. Give me the Tennessee Titans.
There you go.
Oof. You can follow along on our social media, at 6NSportsKC on Twitter. They'll put out all the Survivor picks for everybody that's remaining. Unlike Bob.
That's right. So I'm going to go be Bengal fan this weekend, huh? Got to root for the Bengals?
I can't wait. Sean Barber of our show
I hope
here and just hate everybody else's picks?
I hope Sean Barber hates on my pick. Because currently, Sean Barber, if he hates your pick, you're going to win. It's guaranteed.
How many strikes does he have?
He has none.
So you have how many?
I have 1. You have 2. Shut up.
Yeah.
Sean Barber has hated on 3 separate picks. Yeah. Every time that team has gone on to win.
He doesn't have any strikes, though, right? It seems like he knows what
he's
doing. He's
never picked any of those teams, either.
No, he's not picked any of
those teams. Said, watch out for the Lions. Why didn't you pick him, Sean?
Because he's not
last
stupid.
Last week, watch out for the Bengals.
He had to watch out for the
Jets,
too.
Why didn't you pick him? Oh, yeah, he had to watch out for the
Jets. He had to watch out for the Jets.
That's right. That's right.
Against the Dolphins, yeah. Yeah. Pick the Dolphins that week against the Jets.
I don't say put your money where your mouth is because money's dirty and you shouldn't put it in your mouth.
No, it's got COVID all over it now.
Let's pony up here, Sean. Next time you think that the Jets could make a run at it, go ahead and take them.
We'll see.
Probably isn't the week for that either.
He's not listening right now anyway.
No,
he's dropping off one of the 17 children.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got 17 kids ready for school right now.
It's the Philip Rivers of Kansas City.
Follow at 610 Sports KC or Alex seems to keep track of everybody's picks.
Alex really needs this, though. There's not much going on in his life. He's eating pizza shuttle and sitting at home in a dark apartment.
He's in charge of keeping track of everybody's picks. So
better than what Binkley's
been eating.
I don't know. I mean, but Binkley's been eating is pretty bad. Yeah, that is true.
Does
he eat that stuff after he cooks it, or does he just make it?
Oh, I assure you he ate that terrible-looking quesadilla, which was really just melted cheese inside
of it. Who puts raw onion on a quesadilla?
Just cook it, bro. It's not that hard to saute them.
Does he even know what saute means?
I'm going to do this. I'm going to go over to his house one weekend and show him how to.
You
cook
said
a
at the
nice
beginning
dish.
Of the show you were doing it this weekend. Now it's one weekend, which means it's not happening.
Well, it's Halloween this weekend.
He doesn't want to commit to it.
That Binkley food scares you?
I have children.
Bring them to Binkley's house.
I'm not sure taking my kids to Binkley's home.
Why?
Do you have to ask?
It's Halloween. You're supposed to scare the kids, right?
Binkley just needs to do takeout and forget it.
Yeah, it comes to the point where you're wasting the time and the money and going to the store.
Get a Foreman grill, get one of those Ronco Showtime rotisseries.
You know, Billy Coons uses the Foreman grill down in Oklahoma City when the power's on.
Eats like 5 hot dogs. It's amazing.
I mean, seriously, though, you could just throw a chicken breast on that thing and cook it up, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
And then you could slice that and put it into your quesadilla rather than bacon bits, which seem to be a sole source of protein.
He thinks that's a meal. Bacon bits.
You can't survive on bacon bits as the only meat you eat.
He's a piece of
I don't know how he's still fat.
He drinks a lot of beer.
Offensive to some, but still a challenge to Andy Reid. Respecting the Jets. Next.
What? Admit you suck.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Before the Chargers playing the Jets, good football team, well coached, and we've got to have a good week of practice. Time's yours.
What did he say? I mean, I know, but he never says it for the Raiders. He never says they're a good team and well coached.
He feels like he just has to say it now.
You can't say the Jets are a good football
team.
Before
the Chargers are playing, the Jets, good football team,
nope.
Well coached.
No. Neither of them are true. But you got to tell your team that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Andy telling his team. He's speaking to his team through the media.
Good football team, well coached.
Yeah. No, two things that have never been said about the Jets.
Technically incorrect.
Who are two people that have never been in my kitchen, you know? Good football team and well coached. Two things that have never been said in 2020 about the New York football Jets.
Their offense is wretched. 32nd in yards. 32nd in points.
Aren't they last in everything?
32nd in passing yards. No, they're 23rd in rush.
Oh boy. All right.
They're 32nd there.
They'll get there, though, now that they've gotten rid of Le'Veon Bell.
And they haven't fumbled it much. So
what you're saying is if they don't find a way to turn them over, it could be a long day for the Chiefs in the first quarter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good football team. I get it. He says it for just about everybody. I understand that's his thing. And you got to do that this week as the coach. You can't let your guard down.
You can't walk in there and go,
all right, guys, we're playing the New York ass today. You can't say that. As much as you want to, and as much as you probably want to get a jump start on next week, you can't do that. And I don't think the Chiefs are ever going to be caught with their pants down again, because they were against the Raiders and they didn't take them seriously. And so I think that's a big learning experience. I think that was a big growth moment for this franchise by losing to the Raiders and saying, all right, we actually have to go out there and play if we want to win these games. We just can't roll our helmets out there because it's the Raiders or it's the Jets. I have a feeling, Josh, that this team is going to absolutely paste the Jets in the first half of this football game. And I would say a good majority of the second half is Chad Henne playing quarterback for the Chiefs this week. And I don't have an issue with that.
No. I think that's the best case scenario.
I think it's a great scenario.
I don't want to mess around in the first half and have it be a closer game and go,
correct.
What are you doing here?
Right?
Why are you letting a team play with you here?
Correct.
No, I'd love to see, you know, a lot of Chad Henne.
Right.
And garbage time for a bunch of players.
And then he throws a late interception and we can blame it on him.
True. You want that too?
That'd be your best scenario. Best scenario.
Terez Paylor, Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider. He's super down on the Jets.
No, he's not.
As he told us this morning.
Well, I mean, because they stink. So
wow.
This is one of the worst football teams I've seen in a while. And I don't know where the wind's coming from. Defensively they're slow. And offensively, they don't have a whole lot going for them at all. You know, nobody you really need to worry about at receiver. Their best running back's a rookie, who's okay, but doesn't have a ton of juice. Darnold's okay. I actually do like Darnold. I just think there's nothing around him. And Becton's okay. Left tackle. I like Becton, but, they got a long, long way to go.
I like feel for Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I do. I don't think he stinks. And
I don't know if he stinks or if he's good or anything about him.
I think I've seen him make some plays and I'm like, oh, okay, I see that. And then I'm like, okay, is the system just that bad?
Right.
And then I do feel for him because he's probably going to get jettisoned at the end of this year. And then what happens?
Is
his career completely ruined?
Mm-hmm.
Or does he find a team that says, no, we did really like him? Or is he just relegated to a career backup at best, kind of bouncing around the league? Like, I feel like there's like so many of those stories. That's just not even fair.
And I know Terez said, you know, the game's about the Jimmys and the Joes, not necessarily about the X's and O's when I brought up coaching, but I still think coaching is as big an impact as having the right players around you. I mean, I just look at Alex Smith and what he did out in San Francisco versus what he did here with Andy Reid in Kansas City.
And they don't have to have the perfect scenario around everybody.
And I want to say Alex Smith's first year, Dwayne Bowe was the number one wide receiver on this team.
Give him some pieces and then like a competent staff.
Yeah.
And they don't have that.
And you know, I get older, and it's so easy just to say this guy stinks and he's no good. But the older I get and the more, you know, I watch the NFL and the more I think about it, the more I'm like, a lot of these guys just aren't put in a great situation. I mean, it's you know, and eventually, you know, if you're going to be good, you got to rise above some of that noise, you know, and try to figure some of that kind of stuff out on your own. But there are also situations that you get put into that are just so detrimental. And I think that's one with Sam Darnold right now. He doesn't have any talent around him, and he's got a doofus as a head coach.
And then those narratives like follow you.
Right.
right? So you'd have to really have a team take a chance and say, I really liked him before. I really thought he was good. I really thought that the pieces around him were bad and do that. But most teams aren't going to do that. They're going to find their own guy instead and then just build around their own guy rather than take someone else's cast off and try to make it better. Like, I really liked him, but I'm gonna, a few teams are going to do that. I just think they're... It would just suck to be that because
right.
It feels like there's not going to be much of a market for you.
Yeah, but
if there is, you're not going to get you're going to be a backup behind somebody good,
right?
And you may or may never get the job,
right?
Again, I think Sam Darnold's probably, you know, you're not going to even get a chance to see if he's any good or bad at all because he's going to go somewhere else and never play.
And you wonder how many quarterbacks over the course of the years that we've been watching the NFL really had an opportunity to be good, but they didn't because they weren't surrounded by any talent whatsoever and they had a bad coaching staff. I mean, we've talked about, you know, Sam Bradford, but he had many opportunities and many locations to show that he could be good. So he doesn't fall in that category. But I'm sure, and I hate to use this example because it's so long ago. What if Todd Blackledge was put into Denver, or what if he was put into a different situation, you know, where they had some winning players around him or whatnot, and he wasn't here in Kansas City? Because when he was drafted by the Chiefs, this organization was terrible.
Well, you heard me run through the running backs that were
exactly.
There was a loss to the Jets we chronicled earlier that happened to be a Todd Blackledge game.
Right.
The skill people,
Heard of them before. And the fact that he took them to the playoffs that one year maybe says more about Todd Blackledge than we're willing, you know, to give the guy credit for. But I think there have been so many quarterbacks that have just been, you know, discarded. And if you're another team in the NFL, if you're 31 other teams right now, and your big offseason move is going out and getting Sam Darnold, is your fan base even going to buy into that? Are the rest of the players going to buy into that are on your team? I mean, like he's got such an uphill battle to climb right now.
Therese Paylor goes on to say, it's not just bad coaching. The Jets, he says, personnel is bad too.
This is about Jimmy's and Joe's, not about X's and O's. Like, mm-hmm. Adam Gase looked good when he had talent too. And
sure.
I'm not defending him because I think he stinks, right? But
right.
It's mainly about players in this league. This is a players league. Now, because here's the thing, you could put the best head coach with the Jets. They probably win. They'd probably be 1-5 or something. 1-2, 1-6, maybe 2-5. But like it's offensive to me to watch them play. Because they don't have talent,
mm-hmm.
It's that bad, So I didn't really reference the coaching. I mean, we all know he's not good, but
right.
They just don't have talent, and that's something they have to get rectified. Because and they really haven't had it since he's been there.
Right.
That's the problem. Like it's frustrating to watch as somebody who actually likes Darnold and thinks he can make plays, because it's just him out there alone and he's getting rushed all the time and he's got no one to throw to that's decent aside from Crowder, And that's why I'm focusing on it, because I got to watch it every week.
Mm-hmm.
And just every time the Jets offense comes on, there's just nobody with any juice outside Darnold. And it's annoying, quite frankly.
It's offensive to me to watch them play.
Yeah, well, don't watch them then. I mean, that's what I would tell Therese. Just skip their games every week, okay? You don't have to break down every game in the NFL, especially one that includes
Therese
the Jets.
Therese is in that mode, though. And I'm not saying because he's really good at his job.
Correct, yeah.
But that's where I would have a hard time. Like, if I'm supposed to watch the rest of the, I'm not watching those crappy
teams. I'm not watching the Jets. I'm not watching the Falcons. I'm not watching any of this hot garbage that's rolling around out there right now. There's too many good teams and outstanding teams right now in this league to watch. There's too much good going on in this league right now to have to sit there and waste your time with the Jets. And
I watch
so,
a lot of football, guys.
Yeah, we know.
Every week,
I know.
I notes on every game.
I know.
We know, but you don't have to.
I'm
giving you a pass
to you
here.
Don't watch them.
You know, one example of better coaching for me, what could Carson Palmer have done with, TJ Houshmandzadeh and Ocho Cinco on his team if they maybe had a better coach at that time other than Marvin Lewis? Like, what if Andy Reid what if Andy Reid was the head coach there? Where are we talking about Carson Palmer being one of the great quarterbacks of all time? Maybe we are. I think a coach makes a difference in Cincinnati there.
Was it worth the fallout for the Dodgers, Justin Turner? I say yes. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
So an investigation has now been launched by Major League Baseball. The commissioner's
office. What are we investigating now?
About Justin Turner, of course. Removed from the final game of the World Series in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
Tested positive for COVID. Came back out for the trophy presentation, had some pictures taken, was hugging teammates, all those things. This from Liz Mullen of the Sports Business Journal. MLB, quote, Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong. When MLB security raised the matter of being on the field with Turner, he emphatically refused to comply. The commissioner's office beginning a full investigation into this matter. End quote. I gotta say, worth it. I can't get outraged that he's some type of super spreader as right. It was being passed everybody, around yesterday.
You know, everybody who's trying to be opportunistic and write a column about him being a super spreader, that's what that is. He was already in the dugout for 8 innings.
Already around the team. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be out there at the trophy. I would have not wanted him to miss it. And his teammates did not seem to have a problem with him being out there.
Right.
I don't know if I ever had to sign a waiver. But
I don't think he even asked anybody. No, he just went out there.
He just went out there. But it's not like people were shunning him on the field and needing him to stay away.
Right.
You're only going to get a picture with the trophy once.
I think you're only
going to get a picture with your teammates after winning a World Series once.
And if you're a free agent, maybe the last time you see these guys.
You may never get to that stage again. I feel like the risks weren't as high as as getting that once in a lifetime.
We
experience.
Certainly are, though, giving him a free pass because throughout the season, like, we've built this take up for ourselves, right? Because the idea throughout the baseball season and even through the NBA and the NHL and the NFL season was it's going to take us all working together to make sure we can get through this thing. Well, now we're here at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the only reason that people are like, okay, we give you a free pass because there's no more baseball to be played.
Correct.
This happened in, you know, the beginning of July.
What trophy would he have been posing with there?
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying.
In the eighth inning of a regular game and then came back on the field to shake the hands of the other team,
right.
I'd have said no.
No, exactly.
You cannot be doing that.
So I think we set ourselves up for the take throughout the season because most of it was, you got to play by the rules. You got to live by the rules. You got to make sure you follow the rules.
Justin Turner was like the big leader on the Dodgers and making sure that everybody followed the rules. Like, I was reading some stuff out of LA yesterday. It's like he was like the leading force to make sure, all right, this is what we're doing. This is what we're going to how we're going to do it. And then he's the one that came down with it, even though he'd been kind of leading the way and making sure everybody, you know, decided to do what they were supposed to do. And then he's the one that comes down with it. But I mean, I hate to be the bearer of reality here. A lot of what these baseball, football, basketball, hockey, a lot of what these guys did in sports, most of it was for the optics of things. Like at the end of the day, these are athletes that are in the best shape that you could possibly be in. They're still very young. They don't care about it as much as maybe you do or I do or somebody else does. Like they just don't care that much.
I don't think it's time to switch up the take. Like, yeah, the Seahawks releasing a player because they tried to sneak a woman into the rooms. Like you had, there was a practice squad player, I think, for the Panthers that just got cut this past weekend because there was a video that surfaced of him dancing in a club, you know, unmasked, and there were people around him. Like that kind of stuff happens. So again, I think it's just we're not going to move the bar based on
it's
the time
funny
of
you
year.
Say practice squad player cut by the Panthers because Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley were seen in a bar on Friday night in New York
City.
And they're still there. Well, of course, Saquon's
hurt.
They were
outside, right? Weren't they outside?
I don't know.
I think the video was them outdoors. Regardless, I think that, you know, we're not trying to move the bar. And the bar should certainly be moved, right? Because it's the end of the season. Like, wrapping it up, I understand, like, I'm not too concerned about Justin Turner hindering Major League Baseball because there's a trophy on the field. Like, it's done. The season's done.
It's over, right? And because it is over and you don't have to worry about this till February, I mean, it is what it is. But I think there's also some people that are trying to make it about them. Like, all the columns that we're seeing written and things of that nature about how you've lost faith in America and things. I'm like, all right, we're going a little bit too far with that one. But I think, you know, and again, they don't like to show the pictures of him wearing the mask before he took the picture with the World Series trophy. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but they just didn't care anymore. It's over and they're done. And the end of a very long, hard road has been fought for Major League Baseball. And they're like, screw it.
It is time for Beers with the Boys, powered by Standard Beverage and Flying Embers with us today. Adrian Rodriguez joins us from Flying Embers. The last time we spoke with Adrian, very unique flavors.
Yes.
And we're dealing with that again with the Flying Embers Hard Seltzer. Good morning, Adrian, and discuss a little bit what you dropped off for us.
Morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, good, man.
Great, great. Yeah, it's been a while. I think last time I was in studios right before the Chiefs went on, and hey, they did it. Congrats.
That's right. And you guys had the hard kombucha, which was fantastic. And your products seemingly are so much different than everybody else's. We look at some of the stuff you dropped off: guava jalapeno, watermelon chili, pineapple cayenne. Like, you guys have come up with some really different kind of flavors and spins on the seltzer market.
Hey, we're bringing the heat, you know, figuratively and literally. You know, the last flavor I think we launched with you guys was the pineapple chili kombucha, and just the overwhelming response was just so positive. We really leaned in that direction when we decided to launch the seltzers. So, yeah, we dropped you guys off two of the variety packs. The Sweet and Heat collection has the watermelon chili, pineapple cayenne, guava jalapeno, and then we did the fruit and flora. You know, a lot of those flavors are pretty popular right now. We put our own kind of twist on them. The clementine hibiscus, the passion fruit elderberry, and then the black cherry rose. All of them are probiotic. This is basically the world's first probiotic hard seltzer, same as our kombuchas. They're 5% ABV, only 95 calories. All six flavors are zero sugar, zero carb, and USDA organic. So, yeah, drink up. Let me know what you think.
Well, how do you come up with these flavors? Like, because you're coming up with stuff I never would have thought of, heard of, or even considered. I mean, like watermelon chili, where does that come from? Does that come after drinking like a bunch of these? And let's go with watermelon chili.
You know, our R&D team is pretty creative. We take a lot of feedback from our consumers. You know, we have a direct-to-consumer platform. Where I think we've probably got about 7 or 8 states where you can go online and you can order some of the stuff that we do in-house. It's exclusively online. So we do a lot of trial and error. We put a lot of stuff out there, and, you know, whatever's popular, you know, sometimes we run with, and we'll kind of mass produce. But, yeah, no, just every company's got a mango or a cherry. You know, we want to do something different. And I think last time I was there, you guys talked about, you know, you guys were drinking some of the seltzers. Again, we don't want to be just another seltzer. Again, the world's first probiotic seltzer, and then with that, you know, some really unique flavor collections.
Well, you're right about the flavors, because you go and you look, and everybody has a black cherry, everybody has a lime, everybody has a lemon, yeah, or a watermelon.
Don't know if
or something.
I've seen a pineapple cayenne.
Yeah, the pineapple cayenne, I can honestly say I've not seen that, or the guava jalapeno either. And I think that's how you have to. I mean, the seltzer market right now is becoming just so big, right? So you've got to find a way to differentiate yourself between all the other ones that are putting out some of the same kind of flavors. And so, do you consider this more of a niche market with these type of flavors, or do you think this is more of what's to come, and we're going to see more creative stuff like this in the seltzer market?
I think you will see more creative stuff. Again, we definitely wanted to differentiate ourselves. The whole company, the whole vision is really building a better for you alcohol brand, a more premium brand. So yeah, you're going to see more of this. Again, people kind of get tired of the same old stuff, and you know, that Sweet and Heat is just a really great compliment. You'll see some more of that, and then just really some kind of just outside the box flavor combinations that we'll come out with in the future.
Well, when you look at the names, and we're trying the guava jalapeno right now, you think, oh boy, that's going to be spicy, but it really isn't that spicy. I mean, I don't think there's a huge spice flavor
it's
to
delightful
that.
Delightful is what it is.
Yeah.
The guava jalapeno is amazing. I think you really smell it. You get it more on your nose.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably say the watermelon chili has a little bit more heat, but they're all very, very subtle. You know, they're made to be, you know, enjoyed, you know, so you can have you can enjoy a six-pack, you know, try a different flavor. But, they're all really, really enjoyable.
Can you use them as mixers? Or, I mean, I shouldn't say can, because you can. Do you use them as mixers?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'd encourage anybody to go check out our IG page or our website. We've got cocktail lists on there. People send us all kinds of different cocktail ideas, but whether, you know, you throw in a little bit of vodka or tequila on one of those, yeah, they're amazing. They make some really great cocktails.
Which one would you put the tequila in, the guava jalapeno? That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, make you a little seltzerita. Yeah, why not? I like the pineapple cayenne. I think the pineapple really complements the tequila. You can do, I think, the vodka with any of the fruity flavors kind of pumps up a little ABV there. But, yeah.
Adrian, these available on both sides of the state line?
Not yet. We are working to fill out our distribution for the rest of the country. We've got about 7 or 8 states to go, but hopefully by the end of the year, maybe I can come back on and, yeah, we can talk about both sides of the state line.
All right, so the Kansas side, though, Flying Embers.
Correct, correct. Just in Kansas, yes. Standard is our team up there.
Hard seltzer and 6 different varieties available in 2 different variety packs of the 3 varieties of the Flying Embers hard seltzer. Adrian, thanks for the time once again.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
It's powered by Standard Beverage and Flying Embers with us today. And you thought Super Bowl tickets were pricey before? Well, wait till this year. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
I can't stop looking up recipes for Minnesota hot dish.
I turned you on to that about a half hour ago. You're still going with it.
It looks horrible, though.
It's awful.
Looks like vomit in a casserole dish with tater tots on top.
You add some pineapple cayenne on top.
Yeah.
Mix it all together. Adam Schefter of ESPN tweeted out yesterday that the NFL is planning for 20% seating capacity at the Super Bowl in Tampa.
Not so fast, my friend.
Fans will be in pods 6 feet apart, and masks will be required. I love how they say pods. It's just they're going to seat you apart from each other.
And like any seat next to you that's not
under the
impression. Like a little, your own little personal bubble.
Like
no.
A snow globe.
Yeah, those soccer bubbles the parents bring to the game now. Yeah, you sit in one of those.
I was so disappointed that wasn't the case.
So the and then the NFL is now disputing the report.
It's one of their big-time ball carriers right there is Schefter. They're going to dispute that?
So, 20% capacity, it was like 13,000 fans, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
So, yeah, 13,123.
Uh-huh. Is that what it is?
That'd be 20% of Raymond James' capacity.
Okay.
Of the stadium. So the NFL says no set capacity figure at this time, according to Brian McCarthy, their spokesman, as we continue to monitor the ongoing pandemic with more than 3 months to go. In other words, we'll try to get more in there.
Well, no,
we're probably planning to have 20.
You know, I was told a couple of weeks ago, when Miami opened up and said they're going to sell every seat and whatnot. This is all a dress rehearsal to see if they can do that at the Super Bowl and to see how it goes. And, you know, the kind of the scuttlebutt I heard was that they're going to try to get every seat filled in that stadium for the Super Bowl. Now,
it's because Florida opened up and said, have as many people as you want.
Right. And
the governor did. And we both sarcastically, I think, apart from each other, but we saw the same story and we're like, had the same thought. Well, they're just doing this for the Super Bowl.
Of course. Right? Yeah. Of course they are.
They're just seeing if that's the case. Because Miami held off. And
right.
Like, we're not your guinea pig here for a full stadium. But the 20% would be the low end, I would think, of the figure that we'll be in.
Yeah,
it's
all a dry run for February. And we'll see, you know, what happens. I mean, if we continue to have, you know, events like this at Arrowhead and at Raymond James and Miami or wherever we're allowing fans in right now, right? If we continue to have events like that and we don't have COVID cases reported from them, well, you're going to see people start to push it up a little bit more and say, all right, if we're at 20%, we're doing all right, why can't we go to 25 or 30% and fill the stadiums a little bit more? I mean, eventually we're going to get back to full capacity, you know, at these stadiums, and eventually we're going to get back to the normal levels of football and fandom that we're used to seeing. And so if it continues to go well, knock on wood, I mean, the World Series seemingly went fine. We don't see any, you know, COVID traces to fans or anything like that in the World Series, and that was kind of a dome stadium too, you know, down there in Texas. So I think we're starting to see some progress with that, and as long as we don't see these massive outbreaks, Josh, I think we're going to see teams try to push the envelope a little bit more, maybe add more fans into the mix and see where we can go instead of just, you know, kind of being paralyzed at this 22 or 23 or 24% that we're at now at a lot of stadiums.
So we'll see. 20% would be 13,000. That ticket price would be
I wonder
super
what they
obnoxious.
Would. I wonder if that would be a super obnoxious ticket price or if they would just keep it at normal Super Bowl obnoxious levels as it is right now.
Yes. I don't know. They probably try.
Mm-hmm.
but whether or not they'd be successful.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do about that. But I kind of feel like 20% is where they are today.
Yes, yes. And they're not holding themselves to it.
By the time February rolls around,
they like to think it's better.
I would imagine they're probably going to push for more.
I would think.
Now, also, a lot depends on, you know, what happens with a vaccine, what happens with this virus, you know, where we are, you know, at that point in time. But I think 20% right now, if you're asking me today, I'm telling you 20%. But if you ask
me
tomorrow,
take the over.
Yeah, I'll take the over on that. Yeah.
Gotcha. We haven't spoke very glowingly of the Jets. If you heard our interview today with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports,
why would you?
You check that out, 610sports.com or via the radio.com app. He joined us at 8:30 and called it, "It's offensive to me to watch them play," was his quote about the Jets. Andy Reid was asked how you keep the team focused when they're such a huge favorite this week.
This league has been all about parity. I mean, that's what the league strives for. And so it's never as good as you think and never as bad as you think. Whether it's driven by the gambling or whether it's driven by the media, you know, whatever it's driven by that present those numbers, I don't pay attention to them first, but you mention them to me. So I go off of what I see on tape. I go off of that every week somebody gets picked off that was one of these favorites or whatever. And so you go back and you focus on your agenda and you study the opponent, you respect the opponent, and then you get yourself right to make yourself get better every week. And if you lose focus on that, then you have a problem in this league. I mean, these are good football players and good coaches. And so best in the world, right, as you look at it. So you don't lose focus on that.
Perfect message from a coach.
Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't have said it better if I'm the coach of the Chiefs.
You hope it all sinks in.
Right.
And you hope they tune out everything. I mean, everything this week. This is the best week to, like, not to tune out all the noise.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easier said than done. A lot of times this is a week where you just don't want to listen to anything. You don't want to hear anybody.
You don't want to listen to Therese.
You don't want to hear anybody tell you how bad the Jets are.
No, you don't want to listen about, like, what's going to happen first, an alien landing on the set of Get Up or the Jets getting a win.
None of that stuff.
Like, no, you've got to find a way to get tunnel vision. And I still think the Raider game is what gives the Chiefs that tunnel vision. If they didn't have that loss on the ledger to the Raiders right now, I would say, well, maybe you have an opportunity. But I just don't think the Chiefs have it in them anymore to look past anybody because of what happened. I think when they started this season, their goal was perfection. It was going to be 19-0 and win a Super Bowl and be the second, I guess you could say, if you count what the Dolphins did anymore, because they only played a 14-game season. But if you look at the Chiefs being the first team to go 16-0 in the regular season and then win three straight games and capture a championship, that was their goal, Matt. Now, the goal of winning a championship is obviously still there, but the Chiefs want to set historic records. All they talk about is legacy, legacy, legacy with these guys, right? And so they want to go out there, and they want to do things that nobody has ever done before. And so they lost that game to the Raiders, but I think that's a wake-up call, and I don't think they're going to allow themselves to have the type of game where they don't value an opponent and take them seriously.
Don't play to the level of your opponent this week, because that's gross.
Because that's bad.
That's gross. I hope they come out and track me in the first half, and then
I don't even know if it's
put a bunch
possible
of people
for them to play to the level of the Jets.
I was just going to say, is there anybody on the Jets
besides
Quinnen Williams?
Four yards of offense last week in the second half.
That's
four.
Yeah. A season high, two offensive touchdowns in week one. They have not had more than two offensive touchdowns this season.
No,
they're bad. You got to tune it all out.
They're not going to play to the level of their opponent anymore. They did that to the Raiders and almost still beat them.
Here for the coordinators today, a defensive player as well, live at 11:45 here on 610 Sports Radio. And Tershawn Wharton, Chiefs defensive lineman, will join Cody and Gold as well, coming up at 10:30. That's all straight ahead. That'll do it for us. Cody and Gold, come your way next here on 610 Sports Radio.
It must be maple syrup because butter don't drizzle like that.
We're done.
And I gotta go. Bye.
Have a great day, Bobby. Thank you. Go Royals.
You know, I'll hang out and grab a cheeseburger when it's all over, and we'll reflect.
Oh man, I gotta go.
Talk to you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.